Welcome back, everyone, to the 17th episode of Tabula Cast. I'm your host, Sean, and with me, as always, is my wonderful co-host, John.
Hello, everyone.
And in this episode, we're going to do a little bit about the news. We have the release of patch 1.6 this last week, and we're going to talk a little bit about patch 1.7, which has a few more details about it. Plus, later, we're going to get together, or I'm going to get together, with a very special guest, and we're going to talk about the exobiologist and the medic. It'll be a profession topic show.
Cool.
So, let's start off with just talking a little bit about what we did this week. Did you have an exciting week this week?
Yeah, it's been all right, you know. I sent you, and you can probably hear I've got a bit of a cold, so I went out for a walk today. And I said this to you earlier, I went out for a walk in a forest, because we've got some nice forests around here. And is it wrong that when you're walking around a forest, you're looking for thrax in the wilderness? It popped into my head and I suddenly thought, that's quite strange that I'm relating the real world with the gaming world now.
Yeah, now I've dreamt about games, you know, yeah. But when you, in the real world and you start thinking that, yeah, I think...
It was more kind of like, you know, when you've been walking around, you go into a forest or a big open space and you think, oh, you know, this looks beautiful. And then you think of like the Lord of the Rings settings, and then you think of your fantasy games, and then you think, do you know that sort of train of thought? Yeah. Or am I alone here?
No. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. So it was quite cool. But I didn't go running into the forest with my kids going, ah, for the AFS. Maybe I should have done.
You're like, identify yourself.
Yeah, they hear those whispers in my head. That's when I need to start worrying.
You know, I have heard in my mind, this is going to sound completely crazy, but you know the drop ship sound when they come in and they drop in? I think I've heard that before, and I've been like, what was that?
Okay.
Oh, wait, no, I mean my friend. My friend said that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was my friend that was in the forest today as well.
Oh, okay.
His kids, yeah. But I've had a pretty cool week. Tuesday night's been great for clan night. It's just kicking off. Our EU mod clan is just getting so popular now, and it's just been really good fun. We did more instant runs again, which is funny. Getting on to, you know, vent or team speak or in-game chat and just chatting with other people is just getting funnier and funnier. And, I think the great thing about this game is that people just have fun and enjoy it. They don't... It's not to be taken too seriously. I think people can just get stuck in and you know, fire off some rounds and enjoy themselves. And everybody loves doing it. You know, everybody's just charging about. So we did a couple of runs, and then we got into a PvP feud again. So this is a bit of a learning process for us. But it was good fun, and we've been sort of looking for them, or, you know, jumping on and you know, worrying about where we are. Are we safe? It's currently... Well, it was 9 kills to them, 3 kills to us, but then you logged on, Sean.
Yeah, I messed some stuff up today. I, you know, it's funny because I'm like, you know, I think I'm going to play on the EU server today. I'm just going to level my character and, you know, and I completely forgot that we were in this war. So I log on, you know, and I go into Twin Pillars. I think I was in the Divide, so I'm like, I'm going to finish up some wilderness quests and maybe do some wilderness instances that I haven't done yet. So I go to Twin Pillars, and I see a red dot, a little red dot on my radar, and I'm like, cool, wonder what that is. And and I noticed that it's actually, you know, I figured out in, you know, a few seconds that it was an enemy, what do you call it?
Well, there's another player in PvP.
Yeah, another player, yeah, for the PvP. So I ran away, and I told John about it, actually. I'm like, ah, there's a person in here. And he's like, go back. <Get him." laughs> But I kind of snuck back. They were AFK, so I snuck back, and they were level 38. I'm level – well, at the time, I was level 12. So I got out of there. But later, I didn't even think about it, and I went back in there, and somebody – they were sitting there camping the dropship pad in Twin Pillars. And as soon as I arrived, bam, they killed me. So I'm like, oh, okay, I guess that was fun. And And then later on, you know, I of course I didn't respawn in the same city. That would be kind of stupid. So I went to a different city. I went to Imperial, and they must have been just zoning in and out looking for me or looking for other players. And they popped in while I was sitting there selling some items to the NPC. They popped in and killed me again. And I'm like, oh, there's two deaths like in 5 minutes.
These guys have done this before because they're pretty on the ball. They seem to catch us out. But they've got a nice level range. There's sort of some low level players and some high level, and it's been pretty balanced. It's good. That's an interesting point, actually. If there's anybody listening that would like a clan feud with us, but their sort of characters are sort of within the levels, I don't know, 15 to 30 or something like that, you know, a nice sort of mid-range levels, we would love a clan feud with you, because we're sort of getting ganked quite a bit at the moment. They're obviously getting some valid kills in as well.
Yeah, if you've ever wanted to kill Sean or John, then this is the opportunity right now.
Someone worried, everyone's getting really paranoid in the clan now. I think they're sort of saying, you know, we're quite a public clan, you know.
Yeah.
So people are out to get us, and, you know, and they're tracking us down. And, you know, I'm mentioning that Tuesday night is our clan night, so they know where we're on.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But, you know, it's good fun. And we're not, you know, we won't do it all the time, but, you know, you got this 7 day timer, and that's flown by, and everybody has enjoyed themselves. You know, it's like you said, even though you're getting killed, it does add something, doesn't it? It's good fun.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I was thinking that today, it's a whole new game. Like, I know people, you know, PvP hardcores are probably listening to this and thinking, what a noob. But I never really played with PvP, because I'm on Pegasus, I'm on a PvE, in a PvE clan. Mm. And I never really messed with that before. And now, you know, just getting together, like after they killed me the two times, I said over clan chat, I said, you know, I keep getting killed here. So everybody got together, about four or five people on, they got together, and we were running around hunting these guys, and that was so much fun. Yeah. It was really a blast.
It's really cool. You sort of go into recon mode, don't you? And you sort of, and it encourages you to team up. It's really good. So I think we've learned a lot from that, and I think we will continue to do this, but I'm not going to force anyone to do it. If we decide we want to, you know, have a break from it or not do it for a bit, then that's cool too. But brilliant. That reminds me, Teppo, God bless him, in our clan, he's got this really cool title, which is AFS Titan. Have you seen that?
Oh yeah.
I love that one. It just reminded me then. It's just, you know, we're talking about titles a couple of episodes back, and I saw that one again the other day, and I really, really like that one.
Yeah. That's once you start getting into the like the incline plains area, you start getting some really nice titles, not just like, you know, Wilderness Explorer or blah 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 like that. It's like real, you know, like The Exorcist is one of them.
Yeah, that's a cool one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good to see. Oh, and Rockjaw from NCSoft has been listening to Tabula Cast now, and if you're listening now, hello. And really made a nice compliment to us about the podcast, and you know how he liked it very much. And it's nice to see sort of podcasting recognised as a popular media format now, especially by the guys over at NCSoft. So thanks for taking the time to listen to us.
Definitely. Yeah, that is really cool. Well, other than that, I haven't been up to too much, you know, doing the whole Massively thing, which is much harder than anyone would really appreciate, I guess you could say. A lot of people probably think it's a cushy, you know, a cushy job.
You write 30 words here, you know, it's fine, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a lot of work, but I really enjoy it. It's a lot of fun.
That's good.
And it's really cool to be able to, you know, I've always enjoyed staying on top of the news and on top of what's the latest thing in the game. And that's pretty much the key to this whole position. And it's really, really pretty exciting.
That's great. I like having a blog as an outlet and having the podcast as an outlet for my thoughts. And you've got that balance again now, haven't you? And it's quite nice for you to be able to do that, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so I guess we'll go ahead and get into the news now.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that. There's been, of course, 1.6 launched, which is actually 1.6.5.
and it's good.
Yeah, it's very good. It's got a lot of things that we've already talked about, which we won't, of course, talk about again because we've mentioned them in the last, you know, five shows probably. But there's also a lot of things that they kind of just sprung on us that we weren't really ready for, which is really good. One of those is a flashpoint. There's a new flashpoint.
Yeah.
that's a lot later on in the game. And John and I admittedly don't really know a lot about this.
No, that's true. But I'll tell you what I do like. I like the fact that we had all these patch notes and I thought, yeah, I know what's coming. We've got XP multipliers and we got this. And then bang, we get this nice little surprise.
Yeah.
So I do like seeing these little treats now.
Yeah, it certainly helped out. Plus, there's been there's a new video out, which it's called Patches to Ashes video. And it was a 10-ton hammer, actually. It was an exclusive for them. And Tony over there emailed us and let us know about it. And it's really cool. What it is it's not... I think some people thought originally that it was a new instance.
I did.
That came with... Yeah, some people like John thought that...
And blogged about it being a new instance as well.
Oh,
yeah, and then rechanged it all. I'd like to thank Che, who won our competition the other week.
Yeah.
She pointed that out to me. She or he. She plays a she character. So thanks to them for pointing that out to me.
Yeah, it's basically what it is it's just a revamp of an existing instance. And some would say it actually fixed it because they said it was kind of buggy before. But they added a new boss to that.
Yeah.
And his name is Patch. Yeah. Which is kind of an ironic name.
Looks cool. Looks like a bit of a sort of HAL 2001 robot sort of thing.
Yeah. But the great thing about this video is there's a dev on there. I forgot his name right now. There's a dev on there, and he explains a really good strategy on how to beat this boss and how to beat the instance itself. And then he explains a little bit behind the lore and why they introduced him and what he can do and all this kind of stuff. So it's kind of cool just to watch the video itself to get a better idea for that.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's sort of, like you say, it's half sort of story, half guide video. It's very nice put together. The guys at 10 Ton Hammer always seem to put nice videos together like that.
Yeah.
Where do they get those wonderful toys?
I don't know. I want some.
But no, brilliant. Thanks for bringing that to us, Tony. That was great.
And also a few other things that we knew about, but they've been, we got a few more details on them, was like the control point tokens.
Mm-hmm.
Like we talked about last episode, how they're 600 for a respec. And one thing I didn't realize, and I realized this after I played, after the patch came live, was that the defense and assault tokens are combined.
Yeah.
So no longer is it where you have certain tokens for every single control point, and they all add up in your backpack. Now they're all combined. You have a combination of assault tokens and defense tokens, and then they can be used, like 600 of each, of either, can be used for a respec token, or you can get 100 for an XP bonus, which is a 50% bonus modifier for 30 minutes, which is really cool.
Yeah, really cool. I think these global tokens are just a nice way to go, and it makes that 600s tokens a bit more easy to swallow, doesn't it? I think.
Yeah, because I mean, if you think about it, if you need 600 for one area, that's pretty hefty. But I was happy that when I signed in, I actually had over 600, so I was able to get one.
I mean, whilst I initially thought that was a lot, if you tie that in with the bonus to the XP, you know, both the tokens you can buy and the one you get just for multipliers, it's really quite a nice incentive to actually sit at a control point, because you get your XP multiplier and you're earning these tokens. And I always seem to catch other people at the control points now. And it's back to sort of, you know, launch day levels when people are there.
Yeah.
And it's nice to sort of see that the human race is actually winning a bit on the control points now.
Yay, humans.
The devs have said that they thought this should be about the right amount of number, 600, but if it is too difficult, that they will change this amount. You know, it was hard to judge from the test server stats, so they need to see it on live for a bit before they commit to the 600.
Yeah, and they did mention that in Feedback Friday, that they are, it's not a set in stone thing, that they're actually going to keep an eye on that, so that's good.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean these tokens, the I'm loving the XP multipliers. I really am having a lot of fun. Just brilliant. Just really, really good. And it encourages you to play. And the group XP bonus is brilliant. You know, you get into a squad and go and take a control point. It's how it was meant to be and how it was in the beginning. It's really nice to see changes implement that bring this back.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's really cool. And it might take some getting used to if you're if you're used to before, you know, where you had like 200-250% bonus multiplier when you were you know, when you're fighting overtime, you
yeah.
keep fighting, especially at control points. Well, now it says 2x or yeah. 3x. So.
Yeah, it's a bit different, but you know, I'm currently playing my main character, which is level 21, and I think I can get up to like a level 4 times multiplier, which is nice.
Yeah.
This did get me thinking about the strategies and balancing and of the game now. And if you look at it from a role play point of view or a story point of view, it was cool that the Bane were winning for a while, and now we've changed our tactics. The AFS have changed their tactics. We're in control again. So it is quite a dynamic world, isn't it, when you think of that?
Yeah, it's like we can sit back and talk about the old days when the Bane used to win all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, back in the day. You don't know how lucky you are with your respect tokens.
You kids and your respect tokens. Well, there's a few things in this patch that weren't really mentioned, and there's also a few things that haven't been fixed completely. And the most glaring one of these is the fact that they say that the hilt of the sword, we've talked about a few times, where you use hand-to-hand combat, and you can actually press F and do a bash with the hilt of your sword, and that's supposed to cause physical damage.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, that's not the case
now.
And a lot of people are... pretty upset about that. I don't think it's a huge deal, but yeah. I can understand why it would be a deal especially if you're doing certain abilities to enhance, you know, physical damage or whatever. So that isn't the case right now. So they're going to be working on that if they haven't fixed it already. So
okay. I'm still not very trusting of the clan list at the moment.
Ah, yes.
I'm not confirmed whether this is working or not properly, but I know a few of my clan members have said that they can see everyone's on and they're not, and vice versa.
Yeah.
And I'm still a bit distrusting of that.
But yeah, you mentioned that to me, and I checked it out today. And when I was talking about when we were doing the PvP fighting earlier, there was nobody on when I checked the clan list. So I'm like, oh, well, I can't call for anybody to help.
Yeah.
And then somebody started talking, so I checked the list again, and they weren't on.
They weren't.
The list. Yeah, so it was a bug, and then like four or five other people started talking, and none of them were showing up on the list. So I think that's still a bug.
That's a shame, because that was actually oddly one of the features I was looking forward to most of all.
Yeah, me too.
It's really weird. You mentioned this to me earlier about the you know, considering the talk shell rifle changes, and the fact that there was no respec awarded.
Oh yeah, I don't know. I tend to think that maybe since now they've introduced a way to get respec, that they won't do this for every change. But I don't know. I'm not sure. I think one doesn't really have to do with the other. You know what I mean? I don't think you should really have to get 600 control point tokens to respec your character if there's a skill an actual skill change itself. So I hope they do actually introduce a respec when they do major changes like this.
Because that's not about personal choice at the end of the day, is it? If you want to go and get 600 tokens because you decided to change it yourself, that's fair enough. But I'm not so sure about not awarding one when they've made such a big change as that to the class.
Yeah, hopefully they will do something about that.
But I think you're right. I mean, when we go on to talk about the newest news and what they're looking at doing, I think you're right. They're not going to continue to do this for everyone.
I hope so, but I guess we'll see. I'm sure if enough people... complain about it. they will.
Well, they tend to listen to that, don't they?
Yeah, and that's good. That's a really good thing.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, we have a little bit of information on 1.7, a little bit more information. And one of them that I think is the biggest is the fact that they're going to be making these changes from now until patch 1.9, they say. Like, you know, this last one pretty much addressed the spy and the sniper.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're going to go through and tackle all of these other tier 4 classes.
Yeah. It says we will see changes to all, and that's in big letters, abilities on all classes.
Yeah.
To identify the ones that need sorting out. And that's great. You know, this is good. I think one or two of the skills in each class are a little weak, really, or bugs, and reviewing these now is a good idea. The suggested ones for the Ranger and the Spy in 1.7 seem to have been nothing but positive changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really welcome that, because it's inevitable. Once you get one class that's fixed, people will say, oh, what about this? Did you forget about the exobiologist, or did you forget about the guardian? You know, And it's just they're just basically letting us know that, hey, we're getting there, you know. We got to
Yeah.
make our way there. So that's cool.
The other sort of stuff to 1.7 is that we're going to see some cool stuff for quality of life within the game. You know, we're going to see changes to the map tree view. We'll show a level range for each map, each zone, which is pretty handy. So you'll be able to say, like, you know, I don't know, you go in Wilderness, that's level, what, 4 till, God, what is that, 4 till 12, 15?
Yeah, somewhere around there, I'd
Somewhere around
say.
there. So it'd be handy to know that up front. I mean, I know you kind of know anyway from when you start struggling or it's becoming too easy, but it's great to have that little reference next to it. And the reticule will be updated to be more clear, so that if you're locked onto a target and the locked target, that now it can be a little bit hard to see when it's red, but they're going to make that very clear, and the target will actually glow, and a locked symbol will show on the radar.
Cool. That'll be helpful.
Yeah, another cool feature. Again, they're sort of all really sort of quality of life stuff. The other one I picked up on was the green or red overlay over buffs and debuffs, giving a timer figure as to the cooldown time. So little things like that, you know, they might not seem important as far as classes go, but they're important to your gameplay. And it's often the stuff that you don't really notice that has the biggest effect.
Yeah, and it's the stuff that in a year from now we're going to completely forget the old way that it used to
Yeah,
be.
exactly.
Also, like I was mentioning about the exobiologist, they do have a little bit of a change that's supposed to be coming with that. There's supposed to be a whole new minion system, and it's supposed to allow the players to have more control over their pets. Now, if someone's not familiar with the exobiologist, we will be talking about it later in this show, but basically what's going on is you can there's a way with an exobiologist to make to resurrect fallen enemies and make them kind of fight on your side. But the way it is right now, they don't really do a lot. They run around, and it's kind of like the way the reinforcements AI was. And I think a lot of people complain about this. So they're going to actually make it so that you have more control over these. And they say the pace of combat will be it'll be more rewarding. And this is something that they're gonna, of course, they're gonna do it on the test servers very soon.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to be able to check that out and see what's gonna happen with this one.
I imagine it'll be something along the lines of, you know, you'll have another little mini toolbar that you can set them to attack, defend, hold,
Yeah.
or go nuts, or whatever they have.
I hope they have a go nuts button.
Yeah, I definitely.
Yeah, and you know, this right here, I mean, like I was saying last time, I probably won't play my spy as much just because I wanted to play it as far as I could with that insane damage I was doing before. But I'm really, really interested still in playing my exobiologist. He was my first character. He was, I mean, I still consider that class to be my main class that I enjoy, so I'm really
Yeah.
looking forward to getting back into that.
Brilliant. There's a lot of fun. I think these class changes will make things a bit more refreshing, and I hope it does bring some players back as well. Oh, another thing I forgot to say, Sean, is I've been floating about on Planet TR this week, and Solarion, Solarion, on there has been, you know, has mentioned that they've been going around forums and sites and promoting the game, which I think is just brilliant. So, you know, if you're listening, good on you and keep it up. It's so nice to see other people doing that and making an effort to sort of put the word out there about this game. So, you know, if you see Solarion on a forum, you know, sort of just, you know, tell them that you think it's brilliant what they're doing and keep up the good work.
Yeah, and someone in that topic brought up the point that it's not so much informing people about the game, it's trying to keep them here. And I think that's another thing, and we've addressed that so many times. The biggest part of that is the community thing, you know. So
So brilliant. I was really pleased to see that.
now what I'm going to do is, like I mentioned, this is going to be a medic slash exobiologist show. So John and I just wanted to, we covered the news really quickly. We just wanted to get that out of the way. But I'm going to have to kick John out of here, out of the studios now.
Thanks a bunch. I often feel unappreciated, but this really takes the biscuit.
No, tonight, actually, it hasn't been recorded yet, but tonight, at a time of day when John is sleeping, hopefully,
Soundly.
soundly, I'll be doing an interview with someone who is an expert in the medic class, and I'm very excited.
It's cool having players on that are, you know, willing to be on the podcast and give their take on the classes. It's much nicer to give a genuine view on these things, like we can with the classes we play, and like we did on the Sniper and the Spy. That comes from experience and day-to-day gaming. So I think this is a really great way for us to go on the classes, is to have people on that play them.
Yeah, and I do hope to do that more often, because there are other classes that I haven't even delved in at all.
Yeah.
You know, we've both played the ring, but like with the exobiologist, I've played that, so we'll be able to play off each other there. But things like the Guardian, Demolitionist, Engineer, all that, mm-hmm. I haven't really been able to get to yet. And I think you're going for the Engineer, aren't you?
Yeah, I was thinking of heading towards that. I mean, it'll be great to get, if anyone's listening and they play those heavily and they feel like they would like to talk to us, please get in touch. Because I think it'd be good to have you on to sort of,
and
you know, be proud.
Ideally,
of that,
I don't know if this is going to be possible or if it's something that I even want to get into, but ideally it would be nice to get a few people from each class and have them kind of bounce off each other with ideas, strategies, mm-hmm. things like that. So, yeah, definitely get in contact with us if you consider yourself an expert in any of these other classes that we haven't covered yet.
Yeah, and you get preferential treatment if you're in the GMT time zone. No, that's not true, but you know, but it would help.
So the following interview I did with Vic, or better known as Dr. Vic Dionis, over at the Planet TR forums. He was very gracious to do this interview with me, but I wanted to point out that we did have some audio problems here and there. So if you hear some missing words in what he's saying, it's from the wonderful thing known as packet loss. We all love Skype, don't we? Other than that, I had a great time, and I bow to his supreme medicness, or medicality, or whatever you want to call it. Also, one more thing I want to mention. When John and I recorded, we forgot to mention Evolution Radio over at evoradio.co.uk. John met up with these guys at the NCSoft event a few weekends ago, and he promised to mention them, which we forgot to do twice now. So here's the shout out to them for being such great promoters of TabulaCast. But for now, on to the interview. So here I am with Vic, who plays a medic, and he also plays an exobiologist. And I wanted to go ahead and get Vic on here to do a little bit of interview. Vic is on the Planet TR forums, and I know him from there, and he also is a listener of TabulaCast. And what we're going to do is we're just going to talk a little bit about these two Tier 4 classes, the medic and the exobiologist. And we're going to do a little bit of a comparison between the two. We're also going to go down the line and talk about each one's abilities and the advantages or strategies for each one. Also, there were a few little changes that happened, or maybe not little changes, big changes that happened with patch 1.6 that we'll talk about also. So how you doing there, Vic?
I'm doing great.
Cool. You want to tell us a little bit about yourself and a little introduction?
I've been playing MMOs for almost 10 years now, starting with UO Beta 2. Recently came to Tabula Rasa, and when I jumped into TR, I immediately latched onto the medic class, because over the last few years, from EverQuest to World of Warcraft to now TR, I've always played some kind of healing or support role. So immediately I got latched onto the medic class, and I also, from my Diablo days, enjoyed the idea of getting to level 30 and being able to make that exobiologist clone, because I really liked the abilities of the exo class, because, you know, it's nice to have your main, but it's good to have that alt that you also enjoy. So
yeah.
So I have a 50 medic and I have a 42 exobiologist that, now that 1.6 is out, I'll be leveling him again. And really excited about where TR is going. Every patch it's been getting better and better, and pretty active in the community, you said. And just trying to do my part to help make the game better.
Well, cool. I certainly appreciate you coming on here, because when I think about the person who knows the medic the best, as far as what I've seen, mostly from your posts in Planet TR and, you know, the times we've talked and everything. So I thought I'd call on you for this interview.
Well, it's great to be on your show.
So what we're going to do is we're going to go through, like I said, we're going to talk, we're going to compare, we're going to mention the abilities, just to give you, the listeners, a little bit better idea of what these two Tier 4 classes are all about. And the basic rundown of each one is the medic being the healing class that most people think of. It's more of a defensive class as a branch off of the biotechnician, which we've talked about before. And we're not going to talk too much about the skills and the abilities and everything of the biotechnician and everything below the Tier 4 because of the fact that we've talked about it before. But we will do some comparisons with these. There will be, of course, comparisons, and we'll be able to talk about how the lower tier skills interact with the Tier 4 skills. So that's the medic. The medic, of course, being the more defensive. And then the exobiologist, is more of an offensive version of the same thing, where you get, it's the famed pet class, you know, that you have in almost every traditional MMO. This is the one where you can do reanimation of your enemies, and it's, like I said, more of an offensive thing. So we're going to go ahead and start with the medic. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Where do you think we should start? You want to start with the abilities? Start with the signature ability?
Definitely. Let's start with the signature ability. That's what everybody has. The signature ability being Regeneration Wave. Like every signature ability, drains your entire adrenaline bar. Is on a 5-minute cooldown. And when you use it for 2 minutes, you have heightened, well, you and your entire party, your squad has heightened power regeneration and health regeneration. Now, the good news about that is that strategically it can be used in multiple situations. Let's say you're fighting a group of enemies that do a lot of damage. Maybe you want to pop regeneration wave to mitigate the virulent damage because you have such high health regeneration. Or maybe you're fighting a boss and you're with people who use a lot of Logos skills. Popping regeneration will allow their power to regenerate more quickly and allow them to spam their Logos abilities. So situationally, it's a really great skill in more than one situation. And if you're in a situation where you need health regeneration and more power would be a good thing, that's really where regeneration is an excellent, excellent skill. I personally don't use it that often. I should probably use it more. But it's a great, well-rounded ability that can be used well in a lot of ways.
Cool. And you know, with most of these signature abilities, a lot of them might sound like they're too good to be true, but I think the fact that they use up 100% of your adrenaline is huge. And that's, you know, the biggest drawback, of course. That's what makes it, plus the 5-minute cooldown period, it makes it so that it's not something you can just use all the time. But it's such a great skill.
Mm-hmm.
So let's move down the line, and we could talk about the next one, which is called Disease.
Disease is a great skill. I don't think there's any medic out there who doesn't at least have a couple of ranks in Disease. Rank 1 right away is a very effective ability. Disease, as a general sense, is the debuffing ability in the game. You can debuff spirit, you can debuff body, and you can debuff mind, and then the higher pumps do other things, and I'll get into that in a second. But the ability is very good, and I think that most medics agree that you at least want to get pump 2 for the body debuff. But strategically, depending on how much of a support class you want to make your medic, there's more offensive medic builds and more defensive medic builds. But pump 4 is great because, let's say you're level 50, you're fighting a Strider, you have armor penetration on your injection gun. Pump 4 disease allows you to shut down an enemy's health regeneration and their power regeneration, which is great because you have these things with high hit point pools. Turning off their health regeneration just adds your ability to kill them faster. Mm-hmm. And then Pump 5 is great for PvP. A lot of PvP medics get Pump 5 because it prevents a target from being able to heal themselves or get any healing. So disease is a pretty good skill, and depending on, again, your build, people will go to different levels of it.
I think it does need to be pointed out again. I mean, you said it, but I want to reemphasize the fact that Pump 5 prevents all healing, not only from yourself, but from others.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
That's huge. That's a big deal.
Moving on from there, the next one down the line would be Mind Control. Mind Control has kind of a long history in the medic class in the sense that the skill itself has not changed since release. I think it was 1.2 or 1.3. They revamped the medic class and they gave us a lot of new abilities. Mind Control was one of those abilities. But unfortunately, since it was released, it hasn't really worked very well. Mostly having to do with, as everybody has talked about, and we'll get into this when we go to the Exos, the AI in the game is kind of slow.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have an ability that lasts 15 seconds, which Mind Control does, doesn't matter if you've Mind Controlled them for 15 seconds, it's going to take them about 10 to 12 to even react in the first place. So for right now, Mind Control, on paper, is a really cool skill. But a lot of medics up in the air about it. Rank 1 of Mind Control is really great for PvP. I have it for PvP purposes. Most medics have it for PvP purposes. But the skill itself still needs a lot of work. But I think once they work out the AI issues and maybe look at the time length on, especially at Pump 5, it should probably have more than a 15-second timer on Pump 5. Once they work out all the little details, it's going to be a really great skill, especially for those people who are interested in more of a offensive medic than a defensive support medic. So it's a really interesting skill.
Now, I'm curious how this works at rank 1 in PvP. If it says, you know, the effect is it basically with rank 1 is it frightens. How does that affect PvP?
Well, in PvP, it, again, on paper, they say it's everything in PvP is halved in Tabula Rasa. So instead of a 15-second fear, it's 7 seconds. And again, instead of a fear, because they really don't have fear mechanics designed from a player perspective, it basically acts as a 7-second stun.
Oh, okay.
I believe you can interrupt that stun if you do direct damage to them. Again, this is something that they've reintroduced into 1.6, so I haven't taken the time to do all the testing yet. Mm. Did play around with it on release night a little bit, but I think most people are pretty happy with the re-implementation of Pump 1 in PvP.
All right, so move along to the next one, which is Viral Conversion.
Viral Conversion hasn't changed much at all since it was released, again, during the redesign of the medic class back in 1.2 or 1.3. But recently, with 1.6, it has indirectly gotten a buff. And that is because one of the biotech skills, which is reconstruction, they changed reconstruction from a physical ability, in other words, the damage component from reconstruction, used to be physical, now it's virulent. And what virulent conversion does is it converts all sources, it's a buff you cast on yourself, and all sources of virulent damage that you deal now is converted to that new damage type. So that means virulent weapons, virulent injection guns, decay, and now reconstruction. So in a way, Virulent Conversion has gotten a little buff with 1.6 indirectly. And the really cool thing about this is that medics, particularly medics like myself that are more interested in defensive support type roles, is that with rank 2 and rank 3 Virulent Conversion, we can either do a sonic reconstruction or an ice reconstruction. And particularly with pump 4 reconstruction, it's a pulse. So you can run into a group of enemies, do a sonic reconstruction, and they all get this little debuff that every, I think it's every 2 seconds, they have a chance of getting sonic knocked back.
Oh, nice.
Which is really great because I've already done a lot of testing with this. It adds defensive mitigation to your squad. You know, you've got 50 Bane, you've got a party of 5, you're running in there, you do that, and it's knocking them all over the place, which reduces the amount of damage incoming to the person who's trying to hold aggro and is taking all the damage coming in from the waves of Bane. So it's really, for people like me who are more interested in a strategic defensive support role, it's added a lot of flavor to my style of gameplay anyways. For other people, may not have changed their style of gameplay much, but it does add a little extra depth and the comboing of it with those lower skills is really impactful, I think.
So let's move on to the next one, which is called Immunity. You want to talk a little bit about that one?
Immunity. Immunity is probably, if there would be one skill that people call as the defining skill of the medic class, immunity would be it. Allows you to grant a 30-second buff on either yourself or squad mates, and give 100% full immunity against a given damage type. The potency of this really comes in the fact that, and it's very strategic, you have to know what kind of damage the groups of enemies you're fighting is doing. And to get real potency out of the ability, you have to know, well, we're about to pull this group of Thrax, and 10 of them are doing physical damage, 5 of them are doing laser, and 1 is doing something else. And you have to, because you can't, it has a 30-second limit, you have to really choose and decide on which immunities you're going to worry about, and sometimes even which targets you're going to worry about buffing. Maybe yourself and the tank who's holding aggro, maybe he's a guardian. You definitely want to throw physical immunity on him. But it's really it's kind of a micromanaging skill in a way, if you want to use it that way. Some people use it as kind of a an emergency button. You know, they don't use it often, but when things get really bad, they'll throw it on to kind of save a person from death. So it's really a great skill in the sense that it acts like in many other games that have bubbles. I guess I could compare it to WoW's Priest has the damage bubble. I forget what it's called, Power Word Shield. A lot of people use it in that sense. And it's kind of a strategic skill. Like I said, you have to know what kind of enemy. And sometimes, you know, for example, the first pull in Sancta's Grotto, you've got 50 Florians that are doing physical damage, and you have 5 other various Thrax that do laser or something else. Well, throwing physical immunity on a target, you've just turned a 55 mob pull into a 5 mob pull.
Wow.
So it can be pretty powerful. Sometimes, in my opinion, it can be a little too powerful, but that's been up in various debates within the Planet TR forums. Kind of an ongoing discussion on immunity. But it's a really good skill. It's not really my play style. In fact, in 1.6, with the changes to Virulent Conversion and Reconstruction, I've dropped it completely because I much more enjoy that strategic reconstruction play style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I had two questions with this while you're talking about this. First of all, when you put immunity, say, on your aggro target, on your guardian or something, will it actually take the aggro away at all? Like, I know in some games that actually happens. Will they pick a new target if they're not doing any damage?
Oh, no, no.
Oh, okay, good.
They will stay. If a guardian's got aggro or grenadier or something and they're doing AoE and they've got aggro, I could throw all five immunities on that tank, and even if they're taking zero damage, they'll still hold aggro.
Oh, cool.
That's
another thing. You said you can put all five on there. What is the – is there like a cooldown period between each
character? There is no cooldown. There's no cooldown between casting. There's no limit to how often you can cast it on a target. Oh. I could keep an immunity up on a person pretty much indefinitely. Immunity also has a very low power cost. So by the time you cast it, usually before you cast it again on the next target, you've already regen the power. So
that is really nice.
Yeah. Like I said, in certain situations, I personally think it's a little over the top. But again, that's totally up to debate. I'm not making any final statements one way or another about that. And that pretty much wraps up the medic class. I think the most important thing to note about the medic class is that it really a lot of different ways that you can build a meta class. As much as there are problems with, like I said, mind control, and as much as there are little things that people complain about, like I have my own personal complaints, I think the meta class is a really, really well-designed class in which all the abilities complement each other really well. Mm-hmm. And that you can either make it very, very offensive, and all the abilities will work well together for that, or you can make it very defensive, and again, that's my playstyle. And there's a lot of in-betweens, you know. They're very powerful in PvP and powerful in PvE, so I think it's one of the better classes in the game, but hey, I'm biased because I play a medic.
Well, then that brings us to the exobiologist, which is, like we were saying, you know, the medic is mainly defensive in nature, and the exo would be mainly offensive in nature as far as being on the same branch of abilities and general playstyle. So let's start out with this one like we did with the medic, and we'll talk first about the signature ability, which is reanimation wave. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, reanimation wave. It's hard to talk about reanimation wave without talking about one of the skills of the exobiologist class, which is reanimation. So let me actually segue into that real fast. Reanimation is one of the core skills of the exobiologist, which allows you to temporarily reanimate for 2 minutes a fallen Thrax, or any medical creature. Now that's important because you can't reanimate a Stalker or a Strider.
Yeah, that's logical.
Yeah, or a Machina, for example. But you can reanimate Kale, you can reanimate Thrax. My favorite thing to reanimate is a Thrax Technician, because then I've got a little pet healer following me around. That's repairing my armor. So that's reanimation. Reanimation wave is, again, like every other signature ability, it drains your entire adrenaline bar. And I forget the range on it, so don't quote me on this. It's either 10 meters or 15 meters.
20
but
meters.
All, huh?
It's 20 meters.
Oh, it's 20. Oh, see, I said don't quote me on it. So for 20 meters, all enemy corpses that are within that 20 meters are all reanimated as your pets, whereas reanimation has a limit of just one enemy at a time that you can reanimate. Reanimation wave, you get all of them. I think at some point there is like a hard limit. You can't have more than a certain number of things reanimated, but it's pretty high. Like I've had 15 to 20 reanimated corpses thanks to reanimation wave helping me out, which makes it really powerful in control point situations.
Yeah.
It's a giant lag fest sometimes, depending on your machine, but it's a really great skill, especially for the fodder kind of aspect to it.
Yeah. Now, I guess in the same vein as this, we could just go ahead and talk about Create Clone, because I think Create Clone is a great ability that it plays off of the same type of idea, you know, where you have the AI and you have a pet, and that's kind of what Reanimation and Reanimation Wave do. But Create Clone is a little bit different because you're actually cloning yourself.
Yeah, Clone, I don't think any exobiologist would disagree with this statement, that Clone really is the defining ability of the exobiologist. All of the skill choices that you've made in lower trees is impactful in Clone. When you have chosen Lightning 5, your clone has Lightning 5. When you have Injection Gun 5, your clone has Injection Gun 5. When you have Decay 5, your clone has Decay 5. So it's really of even more so than the medic. The medic has some abilities that kind of combo off of each other. The clone is a copy of you. It has some limited AI. Again, those are those skills, Decay, Lightning, Injection Gun. Those are I guess he also uses Leech Guns and Tools, although I don't know why you would want him to use those two. It's important to note that when you bring out your clone, whatever piece of equipment you have in your weapon hand, that's what he will use for his entire stint of time that you have him.
Yeah.
So let's say you have Pump 5 and he lasts 3.5 minutes. For those 3.5 minutes, he will be using, you know, whatever weapon you had equipped when you first spawned him. There are some issues with the AI. Again, like Mind Control has AI issues and Reanimation, frankly, has AI issues. The clone is very limited in the sense that when you spawn him, he usually fires lightning, throws on a decay, and starts shooting his injection gun. but he's very efficient at doing those things. So if you learn to, and I think that if you lock on to targets when you summon him, and if you get used to hitting tab and locking on to targets, he's a little bit more reactive. If you just kind of let him just decide on where he's shooting, he's a little slower. So he takes a little bit of finagling, and I know that the good thing about the, and this is again related to Reanimation and Create Clone and Mind Control, is that the AI they've promised for pet is really going through a rework right now. They're actually talking about a completely new, as they call it, minion system. Which they're promising will allow for the direct manipulation and choosing of how your minions use their abilities. So that's some exciting stuff coming down the road for the Exo class that I think everybody who plays an Exo is pretty excited about.
Myself included in that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, me too. I mean, I love my Exo.
Yeah.
I actually leveled my Exo to 42 before I bothered to level my medic above level 30. So it's a fun class, even in its kind of broken state right now.
Now, another thing I want to mention, though, about this create clone is the fact that, of course, the duration of the clone sticking around has to do with, you know, your level of pump. But also, there's a level difference. Like, at pump 5, he's only one level different than you, a level lower. And then, of course, it goes down 2, 3, 4, 5, depending on the pump level you have. So if you only have pump 1, there's a 5-level difference. And also, the power cost is pretty high compared to a lot of these other ones. When you get up to pump 5, you have a 200 power cost. And at pump 1, it's 100 power cost. And, you know, compared to some of these other ones, that's pretty high, but I think it's well worth it.
Well, with the clone, I think that if you're going to build an exo focused around clone, you're going to have pump 5, and you're going to summon him at a time when power is of little significance. You're going to summon him when in a dire situation, and he's going to stick around for a while, and then when you realize, oh, hey, he's not around, oh, okay, let me summon him again. So it's the power cost and all that is not really a significant thing, but you do really want him to be pump 5 again because of the level difference and because he sticks around longer. You don't want to have to keep micromanaging resummoning him because you want him around all the time.
So let's move on to the next one, and I hope I'm pronouncing this right. Is it Hortamunculus?
I really don't know how to pronounce it. I think most people call it Horty. Horty for short. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. But Horty is a very interesting skill. It requires you to have a corpse. This is another thing, now that I mentioned it, that's important to the Exo class, is that with the exception of Create Clone, all of their abilities focus around there being a corpse on the ground nearby that you're targeting. And what the Hort is it's a weird plant thing that grows out of the corpse. And based upon what you've killed, it grants, in an area of effect kind of way, resistances as well as healing to party squad mates that are within that area. And the significance about this is that the resistance that is granted, it's very interesting. So if you kill, let's say, a light bender, which we all know light benders do laser damage, right? They have laser rifles. If you cast Horty on that, or even a better example, a Kale, which does massive amounts of physical damage, the resistance is relative to the damage that the corpse normally did. So a Kale, which does lots of physical damage, it would grant physical resistance to the party if you cast Hort on a Kale corpse.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's a very confusing skill, and I think that a lot of people underestimate its power, and I think a lot of that is actually because people compare it a lot to immunity, which immunity is like 100%, whereas this is only a certain. I think that maybe we might see some improvements to Hort in the future, but it's a very interesting skill that if you play around with it and you want your exobiologist to be more of a to have more support abilities, it's a really great skill, especially at pump 5. I think while playing around on the test server one time, I had my exo with Hort 5 and cast it on, I forget what it was. Oh yeah, it was a Mox in the marshes, and I got 60% electric resistance.
Wow.
Which is just crazy because that's to the entire group, right? So it's really worthwhile, but it's a very strategic, very support kind of skill.
Yeah, this is one that I never really played with before. I've played with all the rest of them on my exo, but this one I always, I don't know, maybe I kind of glared over the explanation, and I was like, I don't know, I'll try. You know, because you really focus on the reanimation and the clone, and then you look at these other ones, and you're like, yeah, I really want a clone. So I got to play with this one, though, because it sounds pretty interesting.
It's like a, you know, make a either respec your character, you know, with respecs in 1.6, woo, or you know, make a clone and play around with it. It's an interesting skill. I think the biggest problem is a lot of exos already have that. I really don't want to be a support class. I want to be a really cool damage necro type class. So they look at this skill and they're like, I don't want that. So it's kind of against most people's way of thinking when they build an exo. But for those people who do want to create kind of a crazy damage slash support character, here's a skill. Moving on from there, the last skill we haven't covered for exo would be the cadaver immolation. Cadaver immolation can be best described to most people who haven't played in exo before as Thrax Necromites. Mm. That's pretty much the best way I can describe it. What you do is you target a corpse, you use your cadaver immolation skill, the corpse starts to burn, you actually see like a little fire that's burning on the corpse for I think 3 to 4 seconds, and then boom, corpse explodes. It's very powerful, and I think that even at pump one, it is an amazing skill. I think mostly if you are interested in increasing the ranks of it, I personally wouldn't go too much past pump 3, but I think in general it's a really excellent skill, especially in control point situations or when you have a lot of Thrax around, because the cool thing is you can just go like click, 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 if you're using FPS mode and you're right-clicking, or you can just hit, you know, your number key if you're using MMO mode. And you could literally set several corpses on fire really fast because there's no cooldown between uses. And then all of a sudden, one starts exploding. And then after that, it's just like boom, 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 boom. And you could just wipe out a whole like gigantic squad of Thrax. By itself, it's not a huge amount of damage. It's decent, but not game-winning. But if you have several corpses on fire all at once, it's pretty sick, to say the least. And I think it's one of those abilities that really stacks upon mine. Don't quote me on that. But I think its potency is increased by mind.
Oh, okay.
So if you're one of those people who's really focused on damage, if you go with either a Forian all mind build or human all mind build, you can get some pretty potent damage out of it.
Yeah, and it's like you were mentioning, you know, to me, this is my take on it. To go all the way to pump 5 would be a waste because of the fact that, you know, the difference is the radius of 12 meters with pump 1 and 20 meters with pump 2 or pump 5, I mean. So it's not really that much more, but plus, like you were saying, you can do it on multiple corpses if you wanted to. So that right there takes care of the coverage area. So this is a great one where pump 1 is more than sufficient.
Well, and the other thing is if you actually do go to pump 5, it's going to cost you more in pharmaceuticals, yeah, and it's going to cost you more in power, so you can't spam it like, yeah, you can pump 1. So it's kind of different in the way that if you're not interested in spamming it, which does require a certain amount of attention, because you have to make sure that you kill enemies in a certain way so you have a pile of corpses to work with, which that right there is its own little like mini game. But if you use it the right way, pump 1 can be very, and if you use line of sight to kind of gather enemies together in one tight group, it can, who cares about the range? All you care about is get some corpses on the ground and then start blowing stuff up.
Well, that's pretty much all of the abilities and everything for each class. Now, did you want to talk a little bit about the changes that have recently come about with patch 1.6?
Well, I covered reconstruction in the medic breakdown. Other than that, some of the other changes were kind of minor. Probably the biggest change, which I think all are very excited about, is that the ongoing bug regarding injection gun armor penetration is now fixed, which means that now we can do the proper amount of damage that we're designed for, and we don't have to rely on bugs like the reconstruction bug, which was now fixed, to take down things. Mm-hmm. The fix the injection gun was great. Other than that, there were some other small minor things, particularly concerning resurrection. You can only cast Cure 3 on a live target. Cure 3 and 5, and I don't know if this was something that was in previous patches, or maybe they just expanded upon it in the tooltips. But not only does Cure 3 and Cure 5 not give you a trauma penalty, but there is no item decay. So if you're rezzed with Cure 3 or Cure 5, you don't have to worry about repairing. Uh-huh. Which is really, really great in instances or control points or anything where you don't have to want to have to worry about repairing every so often.
Yeah.
In general, one thing that was great in 1.6 is they updated all of our tooltips, so people have a better idea, especially new people coming into the game, about looking at the tooltips and understanding what the skills actually do. I mean, the changes were small, but if you look below the hood and you really start playing with them, they're pretty significant.
And we've already heard so far that with patch 1.7, there's supposed to be some changes, like you mentioned, to the minion system, as they call it, which is basically pets. And this encompasses everything that the exobiologist is. So that right there, we know that it's coming where there's going to be some more changes, and hopefully good changes.
Oh, yeah, we know it's coming. And also in 1.7, tools are going to be looked at. I know they said that tools will now be dropping in 1.7, which they never have in the past. Kind of a little oversight by the dev team, but tools will actually be dropping in 1.7. They said that there's going to be some other interesting changes to tools, which I'm pretty excited about, because I think tools need a little element of skill to them, in my opinion. You know, they're pretty much just a you spam them kind of ability. And I think that that's one thing that's really missing in TR, is that healing or repairing, you know, it's important to designate the difference there. But healing, as most people think in an MMO standpoint, is not a skillful, doesn't have that much skill involved in it. The leech gun is a pretty skillful weapon, but tools themselves, they need a little bit of work. And I'm interested to see what changes they're talking about making in 1.7. Because I think a while back in one of the responses to the Alpha Wolf reports, Harlequin mentioned that there was going to be some interesting changes to the tools functionality, and that they were going to be combining the radial repair tool and the conical repair tool into an AoE repair tool, and kind of hinted at that there might be other changes. So, and I think she did say that those changes would also be in 1.7.
I look forward to that, definitely. I've been playing my Exo a little bit more. I was playing a spy for a while, and then I knew the inevitable nerfing would come, so now I'm starting to play my Exo more, so I'm really excited about the changes that'll come up.
Yeah, I'm excited too. Totally.
Well, cool. I guess that about wraps it up for everything we can talk about in a short amount of time about the medic and exobiologist, but I wanted to thank you for coming on here, sharing your vast knowledge with us of the medic and exobiologist. And I hope we can do it again sometime when, you know, further down the line. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of changes to both of those classes down the line, especially soon. And I hope it's a lot of good changes, like we've said. But again, thanks for coming on here, and thanks for sharing your knowledge.
Oh, thanks for having me, Sean. Looking forward to listening to more podcasts from you. And shout out to the Planet TR community and everybody else who's listening to the podcast. And that's about it.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview. Next week, as we mentioned before, we're going to have Critters on here, and it's going to be like an Ask the Dev type of a topic. And I've already received, by the time this is out, the deadline for the questions will be over, but right now we've received so many questions, it's pretty overwhelming. So John and I are going to go through and pick out some of the best. I don't know if it'll be exactly 10, somewhere around there. We'll see what we how we're going in time, but so I hope most people get their questions, at least one of their questions asked. I know many people have submitted multiple questions, so we'll see how that goes, and I hope all goes well with that. So make sure you tune in next week for that episode. And after that, of course, it's been just about a month since our last contest, so pretty soon we're going to start thinking of a new contest idea. We'll probably mention that next week and see how that goes. So you definitely have that to look forward to. So until that time, this is Sean.
And this is John.
And we're signing off.
See ya.